Hey, folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss, like, playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
To the Eric Metaxas Show. Are you afraid of ventriloquist dummies? Do they just creep you out because they seem alive? Well, don't touch that dial. Because you know that one dummy that scares you the most? The one with the dead-looking eyes? Yeah, him. Anyway, if you turn this program off, he'll pop out of a cabinet when you least expect it. He's in there now, listening, right now.
Shh, he can hear us.
And now your host, take it away, big dummy, Eric Metaxas.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Man, that's just, it's always so inappropriate. I don't know who is producing this program, but to get these wacko intros and then we have these amazing guests, it doesn't, it just makes no sense.
I think we should fire the guy and then rehire him.
I think, I just want to fire Todd just so I can rehire him so he'll owe me.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is Super Bowl Monday, which is to say yesterday was the Super Bowl. And now, by the way, we've been listening to Margarita Mooney, not to be confused with Marvin K. Mooney of Dr. Seuss fame. You know that Dr. Seuss book,
Marvin
K. Mooney, Will You Please Go Now?
Yeah.
Margarita Mooney, we never want her to go, so we're going to continue the conversation with her in a few minutes. She's amazing. If you've been listening, you already know that. But before that, we should... A couple of current events things.
Oh, sure.
Okay, Super Bowl last night.
Yes.
I don't normally care too much about football, but typically I watch the Super Bowl, and I kind of want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm reading about it and stuff. Now, Patrick Mahomes,
right,
who was the winning quarterback, is a phenomenon. He can run and he can throw. And when they say he can throw, they mean like you fantasize about, like long, accurate passes, you know, amazing stuff that, because I have to say, one of the things that I've hated about football over the years is that it's just all running game, running game. You want these wonderful passes. That's the fun of the game. So this guy, they said, you know, if he's behind or whatever, man, he can throw these, you know, whatever. And it's exactly like it was scripted. At the third quarter, he's suddenly bing, bing, bing. It was unbelievable.
And, I know.
I Googled everybody to kind of see what the story was. He is a pretty serious Christian.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And I was impressed with that because I read a big article about it. And then at the end, I kept waiting for him to say something like, I want to, you know, give glory to God or whatever. He didn't say anything.
No.
And then I Googled him again. I read another story, and it says that he's currently living with his girlfriend.
Okay. Wow.
And I was like, Patrick.
Boy, does he blow hot and cold.
It is time.
Come on.
For you to step up and marry that woman. I think once you won the Super Bowl, you're technically considered an adult. So Patrick Mahomes, wouldn't it be great to get him on the show and to tease him about that on the show, to make him squirm? I love it.
Yeah.
But anyway, he seems like a fine young man. He just needs to step up and marry that woman. And by the way, Albin, we've got to talk about this.
We have to.
I tried not to gag during the halftime show.
Oh, wow.
It was like something out of Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
I felt like I need to take a shower because it was so sexual and horrible. I thought to myself, who is producing this? Shakira and Jennifer Lopez. Jennifer Lopez, I mean, I have to say, there comes a time in a woman's life when she needs to tell the world, no, I'm still good looking. Like, I know you think like I'm too old, but I've got to prove. It's kind of like Madonna. And it smacks of desperation. Mm. And so they're willing to go very low to try to prove this point. And so whatever she did was not family viewing. And I thought to myself, who is programming, producing the Super Bowl that they think families would want to watch this? I mean, if I have kids in the room watching this great sporting event, and then they see a level of writhing, which I don't really think is appropriate. What do you do with the kids? But it's happened many times with the Super Bowl. It happened a few years ago with Beyonce. This was even worse.
There was actual pole dancing. This is the kind of thing, if you ordered this video in the mail, it would come in a brown paper bag.
Exactly.
You know, that package.
And this is the Super Bowl. And then they have kids come out. Like, they're like, oh, you know, we're all so morally blind that we're just going to bring the kids out right after this stripping thing. But oh my gosh, it reminded me of the at the foot of Mount Sinai when they're dancing around the golden calf. Like, it had that level of sin. Like, you just thought, really?
Yeah.
Like, you've
tell you something. I predict one day there'll be a hashtag Me Too movement, and it'll say, hey, this stuff is like...
It's like, I felt groped through the screen, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to say, like, it was really... I'm just amazed because you realize that there are people, like the people who program this, who don't see this. Like, that's what's so extraordinary to me. And there are plenty of people who would be offended that were offended. Mm. They'd be like, bop, bop, bop.
Yeah, what's
but
wrong?
I'm thinking, you've got children across America enjoying a great sporting contest, and you have to inject something into the middle of it, which is just grotesquely sexual.
Well, they at least had, there were two ads, the Secret ad and the Olay ad. Olay said, make space for women. And the Secret ad was telling us we need equality
for
women.
Well, that's a separate issue that the ads, some of the ads were, you feel like you're being preached to.
Yeah.
Right. But that's what's so interesting. You have a new morality, right? Where they say we're gonna shove sexuality in your face almost literally, and then the ads are prudish in terms of telling you how you must think. So they have to push. But there were a number of ads that I thought, really, like, you have to tell me how to think.
That women were kind of equal, you know?
No. They're still wearing seven petticoats under their hoop skirts, Albin. Oh, yeah. You need to understand.
This is the Stone Age.
It's very nasty.
No, you and
it's
I
very
better,
nasty.
We better
Well, they should at least be able to vote. Eventually, I think they're going to get the vote.
I'm working on that.
And then we won't need these ads anymore.
Yeah.
Pray.
Okay.
So we've got great news on the CSI thing.
Yeah.
We don't have the final.
Final. We're going to get that. They're still tallying, and I'm not kidding. The number's high.
I got to tell you, the folks who have so generously donated, I just want to say again and again, thank you. Because, you know, you talk about political issues and you talk about what needs our attention. There are people, while we're watching the Super Bowl, who are enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, I want to do something. What can I do? Well, CSI has given us an opportunity to do something. And so many of you did something. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for caring about people suffering. Thank you for doing something about it. You probably still could give. I don't know. But
well, the banner I noticed was still up there.
Oh,
so
all right.
Probably.
Well, then fantastic. Today somebody will say, you know what? I didn't know about that. Because anything you can give. CSI banners at the top of the page, MetaxasTalk.com.
Right. And just so you know, the Metaxas Super memberships, they'll be going out later this week. The books will be going out in a couple weeks. We're just so swamped.
Do we have my niece, Melina? She's going to be doing this?
Yes, Melina's going to be.
She had her wisdom teeth taken out today.
Yes.
And so she's not going to be doing much work today, but I think tomorrow or the next day she'll be back in here.
She might not be as smart, but she's going to get those packages out.
Yes, that's right. She's going to be able to do it. So, hey, you know what? We got a letter.
Yes, I'm going to give that to you. Did you get it?
Somebody.
Yeah,
no,
here it
I think.
Is.
Can
is.
I read this before
yeah.
we go to the
this
before,
is a great
before
letter.
We come back with Margarita Mooney?
Yeah.
Okay, Eric, this is somebody writing to us. We'll call her Corey. I'm not going to even make a fake name up. I won't say who it is.
Okay.
Somebody wrote to us.
Good.
Let's call her George. No, let's call him Alice. During your Walter Hooper interview, this is a letter to me. Eric, during your Walter Hooper interview, now the letter is referring to my Socrates in the City interview with Walter Hooper, who was the secretary to C.S. Lewis. He was really, he put Lewis on the map. After Lewis's death, he worked tirelessly for two decades to get publishers to republish Lewis's work.
Okay.
and I had an interview with him. And I mentioned in the interview, this person writing says, in the interview, I mentioned how I cannot stand to be around pessimistic people. Well, I don't think anybody likes to be around pessimistic people. And this person says, my dad is a 56-year-old Christian. Hey, that's my age. Is a 56-year-old Christian who is constantly pessimistic and frowning. It drives me nuts. I can't stand to be around him for more than a few hours at a time. How can I talk to him about this? He doesn't take advice easily and tends to get mad when you give him constructive criticism. Mm. Well, we don't have time now, but at the end of this hour, which is in the say in about 20 minutes, I will give you my answer to how you deal with pessimistic people.
Oh, okay.
We'll be right back with Margarita Mooney.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Economic experts warn conditions are ripe for a global recession in 2020. Forbes says 2020s might be the worst decade in U.S. history. J.P. Morgan believes the next global financial crisis will strike in 2020. It's time to take charge of your financial future. It's time to invest in gold. Gold offers security. Noble Gold offers security through precious metals. The experts at Noble Gold have been helping people invest for over 20 years. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Noble does it all, from gold coins to gold and precious metals IRAs. Want to do more with your money in 2020? Then go to learnaboutgold.org. That's learnaboutgold.org to receive your free gold guide and custom Learn About Gold video series absolutely free. That's a $99 value, yours absolutely free. Go to learnaboutgold.org and see if you qualify to receive $500 in free silver.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous? With all the recent fluctuations, it's hard to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 86% accuracy. That's right, 86%. Founded by artificial intelligence software developers, Vantage Point gives traders and investors the advantage you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented proprietary technology is able to analyze massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds. No more guessing when to get out or when to stay, buying too high and selling too low. Text money to 411-411. That's MONEY to 411-411. We'll send you a link to our free demo so you can kick off the new year in the black with Vantage Point Software. Text money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Don't let your home be invaded this season with rats and mice. Keep them away the most humane way with Plug-In Pest Free, 100% chemical-free. Totally safe for your family and pets and environmentally friendly. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free, the electromagnetic pest control device that has been scientifically tested and consumer-proven since 1995. Now that's fair dinkum. With a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 2-year manufacturer's warranty, what have you got to lose? Stop inviting unwanted rodents and pests in with baits. Say goodbye to traps and start saving money today with Plug-In Pest Free. Order yours now at gopestfree.com and save 20% with promo code PEST20. That's gopestfree.com, promo code PEST20. Are you ready to start saving money? Gopestfree.com, promo code PEST20. Don't spray and regret. plug in and forget.
Hey there, folks. That's Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, and I'm Eric Metaxas. And I continue my conversation with Margarita Mooney of Princeton Theological Seminary. Margarita, you, the last time you were on this program, and I want to encourage people, in case they missed your previous appearance on this program, they can go to my YouTube channel, Eric Metaxas Show, because you really give a lot of background on how you got to where you are. But I want to talk a little bit about your future here. You are working on a book proposal called Angels and Other Gifts, Moving from Fear to Hope. And we kind of thought it would be fun to talk about that idea.
Yeah, the book that I want to write, Angels and Other Gifts, Moving from Fear to Hope, as I've shared on the show today, I've often identified or been identified for being an intellectual. And I haven't always shared some of these deeper stories that really, in my own personal life, some of the fears and feeling depressed after my father died, or fear of death, fear of my friend's death, and realizing that in some of my worst moments, that this supernatural presence is really with me and how strong that is. And in the work I do with young people at Princeton or through Scala Foundation, I think we live in a time of a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety and a lot of desire for control. And I think behind that is a deeper problem, where the reason when people go to someplace like Haiti, where there's a lot of material poverty, but they come back filled with the Spirit, is because people live as if every moment of life is a gift. And I think my encounters with angels that I've described today, and my time working with people truly in abject poverty, have taught me that when you see that your life is a gift and you accept your dependence on a creator, then you see that miracles can happen. Whether those miracles be, one understanding of miracle is a supernatural intervention that changes things. But another miracle is just when you think about life as a gift, you're able to rejoice in the midst of suffering. And when you do that, I believe your intellect and your mind opens up, and your curiosity, your ability to see your way out of a problem strengthens. When you accept that life is a gift, then you begin to see other people differently. You see other people not as some kind of mechanical solidarity that's going to help you get something for yourself, but as a gift that God gave you right now to be with you. And what I think, instead of looking at life as a project or a set of goals, to be able, what does it mean to live life when you're actually present to the gifts that God's trying to bring into your life at every moment? You rejoice, you take yourself a little bit more lightly, which I've been told to do many times. I take myself rather seriously, and it's kind of exhausting. And I see students who are like me when I was in the Ivy League, thinking that my identity is grounded on my achievements.
Yeah.
But when your identity is grounded in this idea that life is a gift, then that makes you want to rejoice and give thanks to your creator and accept your dependence on the creator. And that is where freedom comes.
I was going to say, frankly, that's the only way to fly. And God, in his love for us, tries to communicate that as strongly as possible in the scripture. I mean, when the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He doesn't say rejoice if things are great. It's not about happiness. It's not about having everything you want. It's about, in the midst of whatever you are, look to God and have joy in him. And somehow he seems to be suggesting pretty clearly that not only is that possible, but that is the only way to live. When we talk about joy, it's very different from happiness. Happiness, I mean, the root for happiness is hap or happenstance, when something happens. So you say, if I can only get this to happen this way and this to happen this way, then I will be happy. I will be lucky. I will be. And God says, no, wrong. In the midst of whatever happens, you can have joy if it's based on me. And it's a dramatically different – this is one of the great tragedies of, you know, the sure. framers when they say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Frankly, it's a pity that they put it that way. But we really need to understand there's a big difference between happiness and joy. And you can live in penury in Haiti and still have joy. And you can live in material wealth in America and not have joy and, you know, have happiness and no joy, which there's an irony there.
And I think behind part of the problem that I see is that we live in an era in the West where we've exalted a kind of secular humanism. And I'm a humanist, but I'm really an integral humanist or a Christian humanist. When we want to exalt the powers of our humanity or the powers of the self apart from the idea of a creator God upon whom we're dependent, we end up elevating the self. So I think, as I was saying before, even my own Catholicism is very American in the sense where we just tend to think that the world begins and ends with us, and we're at the center of everything, and our actions and our decisions are at the center of everything. But thinking that your life is a gift and that every moment is a gift radically changes your perspective.
Yeah.
So what kinds of communities could we form if we accepted this idea that life is a gift? And I love this book by Jean Vanier, the founder of L'Arche Movement, Community and Growth, right? And he founded a movement of homes of people who lived with the disabled. And it can be challenging to see a disabled person or a weak person as a gift. But what he really emphasized was that it's the sick and the suffering who are blessing us through their suffering rather than us serving them or helping them. Now, that's it's a difficult thing to see, but one strange way maybe that I practiced this, when my friend John was in the hospital and he was dying and I couldn't see him, I was just wandering around Manhattan hoping he would call and I could go to the hospital. But instead, I would stop and talk to the homeless people. And people who are homeless don't often look beautiful or smell beautiful. But because I was so worried about my friend John, I was able to see in them the image of God. And they were incredibly friendly. And I told him about my friend John, and we prayed together on the streets of Manhattan. And I realized that the homeless are a gift amongst us because they're carrying the image of God in them. That's what makes any life sacred, not our achievements and not our worthiness. So Jean Vanier, I think, has created communities like this. What would it be like to create educational communities where we see other people around us as a gift? Hey, we're going to have difficulties. We're going to have disagreements. We're going to have conflict. But that person across the table from me is a gift from God that needs to be respected in their dignity. What would family life be like if we looked at our families as this incredible gift, which in fact they are, rather than as, you know, a way to, sometimes we describe marriage as if it's going to be the way that's going to get us our perfect happiness. And, you know, no community and no marriage is ever going to get perfect contentment all the time. There's going to be struggle and there's going to be conflict, but those people are there in our lives to help us on our journeys to God.
I mean, it's such a radically different way of seeing the world. And of course, that is the biblical way of seeing the world. I find it interesting, you know, you mentioned before that you have a very tendency toward a very American Catholicism. And I think that's the case that in the West, in the materialist West, many people who call themselves Christians still see the world in non-Christian categories. They haven't really redeemed their whole mind to see that they're not in control. They're not, you know, or the fact that they're not themselves being consistent in the way that they operate. And it's important that we're reminded about these things. I know Bonhoeffer, when he visited a place called Bielefeld, which was a community kind of like the Vanier communities, where Christians were caring for all kinds of disabled people. And it was the antithesis of the Nazi death camp worldview, where it's all about this Nietzschean, you know, the Übermensch, the strength is everything. And here he said, no, 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 God's economy, weakness is everything. Because
Absolutely.
This is where I see truth. This is where I see
it's
God.
True.
And that really does challenge us, let's be honest.
True. Along those lines, Eric, I teach classes in sociology and theology where I teach virtue ethics. And the concept of virtue, you know, dates back to Aristotle. But really, in the Aristotelian world, the highest virtue was courage. And the hero was the warrior. And in Christianity, that's not the case, right? There's this really important component of humility that comes from dependence on God. And mercy. Mercy for the weak, right?
Yeah.
And I just think that the idea that God became man, again, Christ was man, but he was also divine, right? So the whole idea that the divinity can enter into our humanity, yeah, it's a pretty radical idea, but it's important. It's an important one to contend with. And before just brushing that off as impossible, you know, think about it, right? Contend with it. What does that actually mean? That God became a man, right? The divine became human. So what I've come to see that a different way of understanding humanism, right, this integral humanism or this Christian humanism, certainly sees all the good that's in us, but we do need to be redeemed.
Now, hang on. This is too important a point. We're going to go to a break. We're going to come back and encourage you to flesh that out. Folks, talking to Margarita Mooney. Don't go away.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Closing arguments have ended in President Trump's impeachment trial. Senators will now be given an opportunity to speak. The chamber expected to take the final impeachment votes on Wednesday. President Trump is set to give his State of the Union address Tuesday night in the Capitol. The World Health Organization trying to tamp down excessive fear, gear up preparedness, and make sure people get their facts straight about the new virus and the threat it poses. The WHO is working with Google to ensure that people get facts from the WHO first when they search for information about the new coronavirus that recently emerged in China. U.S. factories expanding last month. The Institute for Supply Management says its manufacturing index rose to 50.9 in January. The Dow is up 213 points. The NASDAQ ahead 134. This is SRN News.
Good morning, America.
Or is it? If you're one of the millions of Americans who did not sleep well last night, it's probably a pretty average morning.
But listen up, you sleep-deprived people. There's good news. A breakthrough sleep solution called Pronto Sleep.
And when we say pronto, we mean pronto. Pronto Sleep gently opens your nose to focus breathing and help you relax and fall asleep. And the built-in scent diffuser delivers a blend of four pure essential oils to help you stay asleep naturally.
And then Pronto replenishes the oils ready for the next night. Too easy, eh?
And in trials, 84% of people with trouble sleeping found Pronto helped them fall asleep, and 74% found it helped them stay asleep. So make every morning a
good morning, America.
With Pronto Sleep, available now at select Walgreens, Amazon, or at prontosleep.com.
Pronto Sleep from RhinoMed, bringing you advanced nasal therapies.
Hey, folks, Mike Lindell and the team at MyPillow.com are so grateful for you. They've got an offer I don't think you can refuse. It's buy one, get one free on their incredible sheet sets. Mike Lindell has come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. He finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. His new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and he guarantees they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. He says, the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else. So the Giza Dream sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can buy one, get one free by calling 800-978-3057 and use the promo code ERIC or Metaxas for a limited time. Buy one, get one free by calling 800-978-3057 or just go to MyPillow.com, 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 and you've got to use the code ERIC. If you don't use the code ERIC, you don't get the discount. Check it out. I'll be right down. I'm moving as quickly as I can, Elton. Folks, we're talking to Margarita Mooney. Just a few minutes left. Margarita, you're just making such an important point. You talked about the virtue of courage and the warrior, and then you say the Christian virtue is a virtue of humility and faith. And I thought to myself, Jesus really sums up both. In other words, he gives us the courage, like my hero Dietrich Bonhoeffer, too. The courage to have faith, when people are telling you, shut up, your version of things, we're not interested in your version of things, we're not interested in your weakness, we're not interested, we have this other view. And so in a sense, the greatest courage, the greatest heroism can be the humility that says, I put my trust in God, I live for God, I live for other people because he calls me to live for that. That in the time in which we live today, that kind of courage is the kind that we need. But it is different from the,
absolutely,
you know, the classical version of courage.
Absolutely.
But you were just going to talk about, in the few minutes left, a little bit more about this book idea.
Sure. Well, listen, let me talk first a little bit about my teaching and how that's led me into my own book. But one of the authors that I just have to find a way to work into every class I ever teach is Alasdair MacIntyre. His book, After Virtue, which came out in 1981, he wrote while still an atheist Marxist philosopher. And what he was arguing was that modern philosophy couldn't really come to an understanding of the virtues that would build the common good, because it was ultimately, we had lost any sense of tradition or any sense of community or any sense of transcendent truth. When people read that now, they think he was writing it as a Christian, but it wasn't. It was the dead end of philosophy that led him to read Thomas Aquinas and then become a Christian. And after he became a Christian, he wrote a fantastic book, Dependent Rational Animals, in which he argues the point that I just said, that Christianity brings in a different set of virtues that you're not going to get from Aristotle, beginning with humility and mercy. And so in the book that I'm writing, I'm trying to work out, let's say, from the examples I've seen in my own life and the people I've interviewed, what does it look like to build communities that are founded on this idea of what MacIntyre calls acknowledged dependence and vulnerability? How does that change the way that we relate to each other? How does that change the way that we think about family and community when our starting point is the virtues of acknowledged dependence? And those virtues are mercy, forgiveness, humility. And what I've seen, why I find this so interesting, is that in my ethnographic work, when I interview people, people who've never read MacIntyre, never will, may not call themselves Christian, people are running into a dead end, that when their relationships are founded on this idea of mutual exchange, it doesn't get them very far.
No.
Relationships founded on uncalculated giving and receiving.
Right.
What does that look like? Uncalculated. Okay, when I'm giving away to charity, I'm calculating in my head what percentage of my income is this and how close am I to my goal? Listen, people in the pews in the Catholic Church in Haiti, they're not calculating how much is going to hurt them to give away the money they're giving away. They're giving, and they're not calculating. We're always calculating. Uncalculated giving and receiving, unconditional love. And what is it like to build intimate relationships and communities on the virtues of unconditional love, mercy, and forgiveness?
And I would start with marriage and the family. In other words, somebody who's been married 23 years, I can say that that's the only way that it works. If it's about, you know, realizing my potential and finding somebody who's going to help me to be the greatest me possible and who's going to complete me, it becomes all about me, and it's bound to fail because you're both fallen sinners with error, with issues and things. And if you can't love and forgive, it's just bound to fail.
Look, Eric, what you just described, I think sadly, is an example how even in many Christian communities, the way we talk about marriage has fallen into this therapeutic idea that it's all about me and it's all about what this marriage is going to do for me. What I would say is that there's a whole different way of thinking about our relationships to other people. Again, beginning with this idea that the existence of every person is a gift and that we're mutually dependent on God for our existence and our being. And we're mutually helping each other on this journey. Now, when people start to think about this, that everyone's a gift, that we're both equally dependent on God. Again, my favorite authors, people like Jean Vanier and Jacques Maritain, make this point that the real meaning of community and solidarity is never to turn the individual into a means for some communal goal, right? Community, family, marriage exist to help us on our path towards God. And there's a part of our soul that is between us and God, and it's irreducible. Now, the forms of community I saw in communism get rid of that because they get rid of the image of God in the soul. And when the person is nothing but a piece in a social machine or nothing but an expression of a social identity, and you've lost that idea of the image of God, community, marriage, neighborhood can become very oppressive really fast, which is why most experiments in living called intentional communities don't work very well, because they end up squashing the individual. But when community and marriage is founded on a mutual acknowledgement of dependence and the sinful part of our human nature, then you have to talk about how do we resolve conflicts in peace? How do we forgive? How do we look at others with mercy? And in these very divisive times when fallenness and brokenness is often met with self-righteous resentment or anger, I think we need to rethink the very fundamental question of what it is to be a person.
Do we have time for one more segment, Albin? I was going to say, Margarita, because I want to continue along these lines. We're going to go to a break. Stick around, folks, for another segment with Margarita Mooney. You can find her at margaritamooney.com or scalafoundation.org. We'll be right back.
Do me a favor, open the door, let them in.
Hey, Albin, how much pain is too much pain?
I don't know.
Exactly. Neither do I. All I know is any pain is pain. As my old friend Richard Cunningham used to say, pain hurts. Yeah. He would. He would say that, right? And my attitude is, look, there is something called relief factor that works in so many cases. It's natural botanicals and stuff. I bug my family, take this stuff. It works. You can start with the $19.95 is the cost of the Quick Start Pack. Okay, it's a 3-week Quick Start Pack. You will know by the end of that time if it works for you. And I'm here to say 70% of the people who order the 3-week Quick Start Pack for $19.99 end up ordering more. So it's about $1 a day to find out if, you know, you can enjoy the things you used to enjoy. It's kind of amazing. So you got to go to ReliefFactor.com. It works, folks. The 3-week Quick Start Pack, $19.95. That's all it takes. ReliefFactor.com. Or you can call 800-500-8384. Honestly, check it out. It works. Folks, let me ask you, where does the profit from your cup of coffee go? Pete and Seth Talbot, the owners of Relief Factor, have just started something called Honor Bound Coffee, and they've committed 100% of their profits to serve and bless military families. It's not an occasional or token gift. It's 100% of the profits. And believe me, this is premium coffee at a great price. All you coffee lovers and experts are going to love this coffee. But you'll know that with every cup of medium, dark roast, or decaf honor-bound coffee, you'll be helping military families who serve with honor and protect us day after day, year after year. And to get started, Pete and Seth are offering on your first order, buy 2 bags of honor-bound coffee for the price of one. So please stand with Pete and Seth and me and all of us here at Salem. Go to honorboundcoffee.com, not just the best coffee available, the top 1%. And honor-bound is coffee with a purpose. Give your family great coffee and give back to our military. HonorBoundCoffee.com. Is this not terrific? I got to tell you, I can't wait.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous? With all the recent fluctuations, it's hard to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 86% accuracy. That's right, 86%. Founded by artificial intelligence software developers, Vantage Point gives traders and investors the advantage you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented proprietary technology is able to analyze massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds. No more guessing when to get out or when to stay, buying too high and selling too low. Text money to 411-411. That's MONEY to 411-411. We'll send you a link to our free demo so you can kick off the new year in the black with Vantage Point Software. Text money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges. reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Margarita Mooney. She is the she's an associate professor of practical theology at Princeton Theological Seminary. She's the executive director of the Scala Foundation. We should talk a little bit about Marxism in the academy. We just have a few minutes, but it's an important subject.
There's a book called The Crisis of Modernity by Augusto Del Noce, and part of what he argues, in particular in the United States, we like to think that Marxism hasn't influenced us because we've never had a strong socialist or communist party, maybe not up until now. But Del Noce's main point is that actually Marxism triumphed culturally in Western Europe and in the United States. How so?
Well, look, this is a fact, and I'm so glad you're talking about this. Please, go ahead.
And so what Del Noce says is that what we've got in our culture in Western Europe and in the United States is actually a kind of cultural Marxism.
Yes.
Where our very understanding, where there's no understanding of the symbolic realm or meaning having a transcendent dimension. So the philosophical Marxism that Del Noce is talking about is the death of the transcendence, the death of the sacred. And in many ways, as I said earlier, my Catholicism is very American. I would say a lot of Christianity is very American in the sense that there's a strong strand of pragmatism. What works? What can we do now? What can we change? That's very deep in American culture. And look, there's something good about that. I like things that work. I like that things in America work. But we've deadened down, and I see this in education because it's the field that I work in. As I said at the start of the show, it's my mission. God gave me this mission in education, and I thought I was meant to go do something grander than be a professor. But my mission in education has been to try to bring back this contemplative side of the person that looks at the world and certainly wants to study biological science or engineering science because we want to know how things work in nature. That's great. But also wants to have a sense of mystery and wonder and curiosity at the laws of nature, right? That's another way of thinking about it's miraculous just to think that the human body works how it works. And the fact that you can explain it through biology doesn't mean that it's any less miraculous.
Well, anybody who has a real sense of science and math knows that it doesn't make any rational sense that the universe is understandable. It doesn't make any rational sense that we can describe everything through physics and mathematics. I mean, those things alone are occasion for wonderment. And
sure.
And again, you can skip it, but why? Like, why not appreciate that all of these things are wonderful in the literal sense?
So what I see in so much of education is that we've lost our understanding of the human person having a contemplative side, and that contemplative side of us isn't just kind of resting our mind. It's actually exercising our mind to the receptivity of truth and to a wonder about the truth. We've forgotten the intrinsic relationship between beauty and truth. We're not only meant to know the truth, we're meant to love the truth. And in the programs that I do through Scala, when I give them, for example, Jean Leclerc, Love of Learning and the Desire for God, and contrast that with other theories of education, students love the ideas of medieval monks reading poetry just for the fun of it, because it's beautiful. And that's a way of exercising their capacities, because somehow poetry reflects the image of God. And guess what? So does nature. The laws of nature are also reflecting the grandeur of God. So when students see this older kind of medieval understanding of education, whether it's poetry or biology, that both are reflecting God's grandeur and beauty, it puts back in them what they had almost inevitably as five-year-olds, an excitement about learning, a desire to know things.
And I think, look, we need to make the case that this is not some atavistic thing. This is not some anachronistic thing. This is appropriate. The more we learn in the West, the more it points us to this idea of a holistic view of the human person, a wonder at the universe. That's, to me, what all of knowledge leads to inevitably. And so if that's where science is taking us, why do we kick against the goads and say, no, I still want to live in a reductionist universe where you're just a bunch of atoms? In other words, that view, which maybe made some intellectual sense 100 years ago, it makes very little sense. But there are very few people who have the courage to see that the transcendent, and that the transcendent is the enemy of this reductionist view of the human person, that really we're coming to a place where all of these academic disciplines, if anything, are pointing toward that, toward the biblical view of the human person, not toward this reductionist view.
Well, look, Eric, I think the tide is shifting. There's a movement to reinvigorate classical liberal arts education founded on Christian anthropology with a deep emphasis on the relationship between beauty and truth. I think a lot of times in the United States, we want to think that our freedom comes through our political institutions or our economic freedom. But everywhere and always, totalitarian regimes have tried to turn education into a tool of the state. And education has got to be founded on a robust notion of freedom and a cultural freedom, a freedom that's grounded in the image of God and gives people back the sense of joy and excitement about learning that leads to a freedom that, as I've been emphasizing during this show, is mission-oriented, that the gifts we've been given and the knowledge that we have are meant to serve a higher purpose. And when you do that, believe me, people are transformed and they are ready. They're ready to go out on their mission and they're ready to serve others and use their gifts in a way that builds up the common good. And that's something that education needs to be focused on, forming the entire human person understood as having the image of God in them with the capacity to know and understand the material world, but that ultimately everything in the material world is a sign of the grandeur of God upon whom we depend for every single breath.
And we will leave it there. My goodness, Margarita Mooney, I'm so grateful, not just that you're here in the studio, but that you're at Princeton Theological Seminary. We need people like you in the academy willing to go where the evidence points. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.
Hey guys, this is Larry King. Are you sick and tired of prostate pills that don't work? I've got great news for you. I had prostate problems that were driving me nuts. I tried several different natural products. None of them worked. One day I heard about Prostagenics. It beat over 157 other prostate supplements in independent lab tests and was rated number one most powerful prostate supplement in the world. So I got some Prostagenics and boy, am I glad I did. Now my prostate troubles are a thing of the past. I sleep like a champ. I feel like I did 20 years ago. Do yourself a huge favor. Do what I did and get yourself some Prostagenics.
Prostagenics comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee, so you can order absolutely risk-free. So go online or call 800-653-2083. 800-653-2083. If you call in the next 6 minutes, you can get a free bottle with a Larry King special. 800-653-2083.
Pick up the phone right now.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. House impeachment managers and the defense team have made their final arguments at President Trump's impeachment trial.
House Manager Adam Schiff made personal attacks on the president's moral character, part of his final arguments.
Truth matters little to him. What's right matters even less. And decency matters not at all.
But defense attorney Patrick Philbin says the only laws broken were by House lawmakers eager to impeach President Trump.
They began an impeachment inquiry here without a vote from the House, and therefore without lawful authority delegated to any committees to begin an impeachment inquiry against the President of the United States. That was unprecedented in our history.
A final vote on the articles of impeachment is set for Wednesday. Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
And conservative radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh announcing he will begin receiving treatments for a diagnosis of advanced lung cancer. This is SRN News.
Following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
And we've got a new segment right now.
Right now.
It's called Ask Eric. It should be titled You Asked For It.
Yeah.
Because people write in.
That's right.
Asking for, and I don't want to give away who it is, so I will use like a unisex name like Terry or Corey or, you know, yeah, something that you can't tell because I don't want people to know who wrote in. But people wrote right in, and this person says, during your Walter Hooper interview on Socrates in the City, Eric, you mentioned you can't stand being around pessimistic people.
Right.
My father's 56-year-old Christian, constantly pessimistic and frowning, drives me nuts, can't stand to be around him for more than a few hours at a time. How can I talk to him about this? He doesn't take advice easily and tends to get mad when you give him constructive criticism. You know, your dad sounds just like everybody I know, including me. But this is an important thing. Now, I would say, if you are serious about your Christian faith, if you want to honor God, if you care what God thinks, if you know how much he loves you, a lot of people don't. A lot of people say they're Christians, but they don't have a real sense of how much God loves them.
Yeah.
If you know how much he loves you and you really understand how tenderhearted he is toward you and that Jesus is real, he loves you, he died for you. If you really get that, you want to please him. And if you want to please him, that means you don't want to do things that he has made it clear that are upsetting to him. So what upsets God? When we are negative and pessimistic, it's like we are praising the devil or like we're saying, you know, God, I don't trust you. You're not really there. You know, you don't really love me that much. I don't really trust you. When you say those things, it hurts God. Now, most people say, I don't think I could hurt God. He's just an energy force beyond the clouds. No, God is a person. Jesus is God. I mean, he actually loves us like a real father loves us. So this is not some energy force. And if he loves us, it hurts him when we effectively say, yeah, I don't think you really love me. Or, you know, that hurts. If you really love somebody and they say, yeah, I don't think you really care about me. You don't even think about me. But, and that's what happens when we're negative. generally speaking, pessimistic. And yeah. Look, I struggle with this, and a lot of my close relatives struggle with this. And I say, when you say something really negative, it hurts everybody who hears it, number one.
Right.
You're being selfish. Number two, it's a lie from the pit of hell. if something's a lie from the pit of hell, generally don't want to repeat it. But all kinds of hopelessness, that's the voice of the devil speaking, right?
Yeah.
God tells us in the Bible, in the book of Philippians, he says through Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, why would he say that to us? Why would he say, be anxious for nothing? Mm-hmm. Why would he say that? It's like a father who has a kid, and the father says to the kid, listen, I love you, and I want you to bring me your problems knowing that I want to help you. Do not go off on your own and wring your hands and be upset. That hurts me. Come to me with your problems. Pray to me. Talk to me. So when we give negative, you know, when we throw out this negative stuff, yeah. It's contrary to Scripture. It hurts God, and it hurts everybody around us. And people need to know that if you claim to be some kind of a Christian and you have that attitude, people are going to look at you and they're going to say, that dude is a hypocrite. I cannot imagine yeah. where, you know, he seems not to be reading the same Bible I'm reading. Now, that was the long-winded answer. I'll right. give my short answer at another time. But whoever wrote in, God bless you. Love mm-hmm. your father with yeah. all your heart, no matter how negative he is. Okay. And folks, by the way, if you get something from MyPillow, use the code Eric. Eric. We'll be right back. Or will we?